What is up, everybody? It is Sunday, June 6th. I almost said January. That's not right. We're playing baseball. We're still playing baseball. One of the few teams left still playing baseball. It is. I know it's late. I know it's late. So this is not an official episode of More Important Issues. This is what I'm calling a Sunday night special, brought to you by the fighting Tony Vitellos.
How I get? Oh man.
Sorry, I don't know what happened there. I was expecting Landon to come into the episode tumbling. I don't know if we can call what Tony did a flip, but
yeah. I mean, he had a lot of momentum going, so maybe a somersault is a better word than a
front. See, yeah, that's the thing. I think it was slightly better than a somersault, but not quite a front flip.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, either way, it was a great celebration. Landon was actually in Lindsey Nelson for it all. Got to take it all in, and he came straight from the stadium. And I mean, that's just dedication right there. That's the kind of stuff that leads to historic seasons like you're seeing right now. Is that kind of commitment?
Yeah, and I actually left Myrtle Beach this morning at 5 o'clock to make it. I had to plan it because I would have been there right at 2 o'clock if I left at 5 o'clock. So we left at 5, got here in plenty of time, actually went to a graduation. And then as soon as I got back home, got my stuff ready, went to the game. And I didn't tweet out that I was left early because I didn't want to be the reason. Like I didn't want everybody to blame me if we lost tonight. But now you can, you know, I'm just dedicated. And we won.
So. Exactly. Exactly. It is. I really want to talk about the whole weekend as a whole. But tonight was just, man, that was gritty. And like, and credit to Liberty too, because that, like, they played really, really good. And they played earlier today. I mean, that was a good baseball game. Not what the weekend was used to. With a ton of home runs. I mean, Liberty just dude, these AirPods are crazy. That one just fell out. I mean, Liberty just a couple hours earlier was hitting a ton of home runs. And then you get a pitcher's duel where, you know, Liberty had a guy that was able to go five and a third, too. And then their bullpen was able to kind of hold Tennessee back as well. I mean, just a great game overall from two really good teams. Liberty was actually fighting for their first super regional appearance in school history. So it was a big deal for them too, and they competed hard. Tennessee's pitching staff was able to keep Liberty at bay. They made some great plays with Will Heflin still in there, able to get guys on base. And then Tennessee almost kept them off the board completely with Heflin, you know, picking up that that grounder that may have gone foul, may not have. It's tough to say. It was a kind of a quick play, quick decision thing. And Heflin still almost made the play. That was what was crazy.
Yeah, another review that doesn't go Tennessee's way.
That he was safe.
He was safe. Yes.
Okay. But, I didn't know you'd seen it yet.
Yes. Yeah. He was safe, but you know, it was just one of those bang bang plays where, you know, Tennessee wasn't on the right end of it. But yeah. But yeah, man, just the whole weekend, I enjoyed watching. I wasn't at the game on Friday and Saturday, but man, the atmosphere tonight was electric. They got the wave going, you know. They were chanting Tony. They did "It's Great to Be a Tennessee Vol" right after it. Man,
that,
it was
that one got me excited.
I felt like I was in Neyland Stadium on the good side of a W.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The Rocky Top was electric. That's another thing. Speaking of that, how do we get the pride of the Southland in Lindsey Nelson? I know that's not a normal thing, but you know, I was thinking like Friday night, when everybody was just like moaning and whining about the bat flip and the celly and that stuff. I was like, that's what makes college baseball great. Like that kind of stuff is like why you're tuning in. Cause like, you know, we talked about this. People are like, the NFL and NBA are way better products. Well, yeah, the talent's obviously better, but you tune in for stuff beyond the talent. Like, yeah, you know, you're watching quality baseball still, but yeah, you could tune it. You could have tuned into the 15 MLB games that were today and the product's going to be better. So it's not, you're not just there to watch baseball per se. So how do you do it? I don't know. Pep bands aren't normal things at they aren't normal at baseball games, but man, wouldn't Lindsey Nelson be rocking with Pride of the Southland playing Rocky Top?
I'd love it. I mean, just whatever you got to do to make that, you know, your thing, like the daddy hats. They're everywhere. They're all over Lindsey Nelson now.
Because I don't know how to feel about it. It's like almost like cute when an 87-year-old dude's wearing a daddy hat, but then it's like a 55-year-old guy wearing it. You're like, that's a little weird.
Well, so I kind of felt bad for this dad. This he had like his daughter and his son with him, and they're like, I want a daddy hat. I want a daddy hat. He was like, like, I mean, if your son gets one, it's whatever. But your daughter, I don't know if I have a daughter wearing a daddy hat. I'm sorry.
Right. No, it's it's cool. Like, it's just cool, like, seeing how this, not just this team is buying into, you know, Tony Vitello, but like the whole fan base. And a lot of people have tweeted it out this week and previously that, like, it has that Bruce Pearl feel to it where he just kind of captures the thing. Like, he has a very similar attitude to a lot of people that are a part of his fan base. So he captures the fan base. And I think that's what's happening here. And the daddy cap thing is just very, we talk about traditions, like, how does stuff like that come about? It's very natural. Like, they do it as a joke. Evan Russell apparently just shows up to practice one day wearing it, and then they start doing it. And now, like you said, there's 4,000 people at a baseball game wearing daddy caps.
Right. Yeah. And the funny thing, like, the dad was like, oh, they're not even going to do it next year. Well, they did it last year too.
Yeah.
But no one really remembers that because, like, you know, Tennessee has won a ton of games this year, and it's really come on as Tennessee's kind of taken – this fan base is kind of taking baseball under their wing. They're, like, holding on to something.
Right.
And this is what it is. But yeah, I just love how this team seems all bought in. You mentioned Tony Vitello's got that kind of Bruce Pearl mantra to him a little bit. I mean, just every, like, the things that he does, it's just so fluent and easy
for him. He's being himself. That's like it's, right. He's not trying to be something that he's not. Yeah, it's just like, that's why he's very similar to Bruce Pearl. They are who they are. They have a, you know, yeah, they didn't grow up Tennessee fans, but, like, that, you know, I think it was Martin Agee mentioned it. Bruce Pearl didn't want to leave Tennessee. He was forced to. So, like, there's just, like, this love here that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, both of their first big-time jobs, like, things like that, it's their culture. Like, it's theirs. Bruce Pearl kind of created what we know as Tennessee basketball right now. Tony Vitello has created what we know as Tennessee baseball right now. Like, it's theirs. It's not like, it is kind of hard to come into Tennessee football when all these traditions and all these things are already here, and you're trying to also put your own culture on top of it. But these two guys have created their own thing, and it has been awesome to watch. As a fan, you kind of feel like you're a part of it, which makes it even more special. And I'm like, tonight, God, I wish I could have been there. I mean, Friday night, obviously, wish I could have been there. Tonight, but, you know, obviously the game wasn't, you know, it wasn't as exciting as that Friday night walk-off. Me and you joked about it. It's like,
how do you talk about
it? Yeah, we expected to, like, be going to the Super Regional. We expected to be doing this tonight on the show, but it's like, I kind of just want to talk about Friday night because that was freaking awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we can get to there, but yeah, going back to Tony Vitello, just real quick. I mean, just some of the stuff I noticed tonight, like that somersault, like, that's awesome. Like, he gets done with his interview with SEC Network, is walking, you know, picks it up a little bit, and then it turns into a full on sprint and just does a somersault with his team. I thought that was really cool. Some kids went up to the dugout because I'm sitting in the MVP section, so I'm like right next to the dugout, and some kids come down there and they're just like, coach, and like it's in the seventh game in a tight ball game, and he had the time, you know, just being himself and just waved to him and smiled, and then he's joking with Drew Gilbert in the locker room or in the dugout in the eighth inning, again another tight ball game, and able to joke with his players. And then you have Ross Kivett run to the dugout after the game and say, let's effing go. I mean, just like this whole staff and the players, like the personality. When we had Ross Kivett on, he talked a lot about that. It is just really what's kept Tennessee fans, like, super interested. I mean, yeah, they're winning games, but the way that they're doing it is what Tennessee fans are holding on to.
Yeah. And it's been, like I said, ton of fun. Tonight was a lot of fun. And you mentioned Ross Kibbitt. You didn't get to see this. You may have noticed it during that late in the game. I guess it was the eighth and or the seventh and eighth innings. Liberty had that pitcher that was maybe a couple balks could have been called. I don't know. Listen, I'm not a guy that gets onto the umps. Don't look at me. but it was funny every time they had the camera from third base, so you could see Kiv in the background, and he just every time they threw to first, he was. He's like, you got to make that call. Oh, yeah. He's like trying not to say anything.
Oh, Vitello was beating on the fence over there. Every time he threw to first, because yeah, there should have been six box called, but whatever. We took care of business. That's what we're in this regional to do. We did it. Florida did not. So,
oh God, you got to feel for him a little bit. 18-2 was that the final?
It was. They're down 18 when their weather delay hit. I think it was 19-1.
19-1. Golly. Those are the ones you're like, I mean, hey, can we really not have the run rule in place? Come on.
And somebody commented, I don't remember who it was, I'd give them credit, but they're like, imagine being in that locker room knowing that you have to play more of a baseball game. You're down 18 runs.
Yeah, and it's postseason, so you can't do it. But
it's a manager game. Like, you're done.
As the manager, don't you want to walk out and be like, hey, we can just call this one. It's in the seventh, rain delay.
Say to your team during that rain
right.
delay?
We got a long bus ride home. Coach, you're at home. Yeah, but.
You get it.
We got to feed the guys. You know, we got to get out of here.
Well, let's talk about Friday. Let's move to Friday a little bit.
Yeah. We're doing it in chronological order. That's why we're doing it like this.
There you go. Yeah. Working backwards.
Right state. Our boys can hit the ball.
I mean, Tyler Black, holy crap. Like, I knew they had a really good player, but I didn't know he was a first-round player.
Yeah.
And he proved it. I mean, like, when you think of, like, oh, this kid's really good at Rice State, you're like, okay, like, but against SEC competition, like, how good is he?
Right.
He's good. He's really good. And then you had the kid that's been there for 25 years at Rice State, the dude with dreads.
I'm not sure of his name, but yeah, very memorable guy. And you were just like, hey, let's not throw to him again after he took that one deep to center.
He was Alders. Is that something right?
Yeah.
Alders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did not want to see any more of that kid. My dad was there, and he was saying that everybody stayed. But
yeah.
I mean, there's probably like a few people here and there that probably left.
I was about to say a couple people.
Like, again, going back to this team winning in the way that they do, like there's always a chance with this lineup. There's always a chance.
Well, and you mentioned it too, like with this team kind of or this fan base kind of clinging to baseball just in general. Like yeah, the team's had some wild late game heroics already this season, but also like this fan base is clinging to baseball right now. Like football a couple years ago, people didn't leave the games early. Didn't matter the score. Right. It's only been in the last 10 years that it's taken time that now people are leaving the games early. So I think early stages of what's happening in baseball, that probably played a part. But yeah, this team's definitely had their, probably some of the most late game heroics in the country.
Yeah. I mean, we can kind of go through the game. I mean, Tennessee's just hitting home runs at a crazy rate. Didn't have that same pop off the bat tonight, except for one. Max Ferguson went yard, Luke Lipsius, Connor Pavloni, and then, you know, Drew Gilbert just with bases loaded. And I said, we were at a bar watching it on my phone because we're not on TV for some stupid reason, but whatever. That's another conversation for a different day. But we pull it up, and I'm like, they're about to walk Jake Rucker. And I was like, they don't want to walk Jake Rucker because what do we know about Drew Gilbert? The dude is a psychopath.
Yeah,
he loves that moment. He's going to swing for the fences. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, the man, the whole time he stepped up there, there was no question about, hey, let's see if we can get, you know, runner on second and third home. That was not in play for him. He was like, this thing's gone. This ball's leaving the park. He's like, you know what? I'm going to put it on their bus for them when they get it. I want it to be on the front seat when they see it. or when they get
on
the bus.
My dad was saying that he saw Rucker say something to Gilbert when they were talking to the pitcher or whatever, or maybe it was before Rucker's at bat, and said he's hanging or something about the curveball, something about it.
Well, that curveball too. He throws that same pitch, the first pitch. First pitch to Gilbert.
And Gilbert swings out of his shoes.
I mean, I how did he even hang on to the bat? He swung so freaking hard.
I mean, he had adjust his freaking his foot, whatever you call it. Not brace. Foot guard.
Shin guard.
Yeah, he had to fix it because he swung literally out of his shoes.
Yes, and then I mean the pitcher had to miss his spot on that first one or that second one because there's no way you throw that same ball there. There's no way, and
especially to a dead pull hitter like Gilbert.
Yeah,
you can't make that mistake.
And you looked at who was on third.
Don't know.
It seemed like whoever it was, he was the only one that was a little concerned. Maybe it wasn't gone because he kind of shuffles back.
It was Pavloni.
He kind of shuffles back to third, and I'm like, everyone else in the park knew that ball was gone the moment it hit the bat. And like, I mean, I was watching on my phone. We went to go see my grandmother on our way into town Friday night. So I was just up kind of, I wasn't even like really at that point. I was kind of just waiting for the inevitable game to be over kind of thing. So I was had it like sitting on my leg, and I kind of looked down as soon as he hit it. And just jump up because I was like, that thing, bomb, bomb, gone. Oh, no doubter. Because I saw, I saw the first pitch and I was like, no, he wants it. And then second one, as soon as it hit, I was like, yeah, peace. No question.
Daddy hacks.
And then the Selly, because I know the Selly was a big deal on Friday night. It's actually been, I mean, people are still tweeting about it this morning.
Oh, well, have you seen the one tonight? Did you see that one?
At the game?
Yeah. The one he hit tonight. Did you see his bat flip?
It wasn't as big, but yeah, I did.
No, but I mean, he doesn't give a rat's ass what you think about his bat flip. He's gonna do it.
He's like, if you don't want to see this bat go 6 feet in the air, how about you throw something harder over the plate for me?
Yeah, I'm 5'10", 170. I just hit a ball 450 feet. So how about that?
Yeah, I mean, if he almost lost that ball again tonight. If the Liberty bus wasn't there to keep it in, it might have went in the river.
5'10", that might be helping him out a little bit.
Yeah, you definitely just went roster height on him.
Yeah, there you go.
You spotted him a couple inches. Yeah. The Selly too. That, like, if you played any sport, how do you like? That's those are the celebrations you dream of. It wasn't like that. That's the thing like people are missing. Someone's already commented that it was over the top. Guys, it wasn't because like the one tonight, the bat flip, it's a great example in the third inning or whatever. That's not over the top. That's like a touchdown celebration. But what's your celebration, Landon, if you score a walk-off touchdown, snap ball snaps with 2 seconds left, you catch a post route, 60-yard TD bomb. Are you just dapping your boys up and heading back to the sideline? Or are you taking that shit to the student section, throwing helmets?
Yeah. Take your clothes off.
Yeah,
I mean, like, we're gonna be mad. Weird. We're gonna be mad at a kid that did it, but we're gonna celebrate the guys who are on top of the dugout with their shirts off. I mean, you celebrate both.
Yeah, no. It not only is it a big moment because it's a walk off home run, it is a walk off grand slam.
Yeah, I mean that's literally kids dream about that. They're in their backyard with a wiffle ball bat, with in their mind, they're trying to do that same exact thing in their mind and play it out. You know, they're dreaming about that. And for people to be mad about it, they can suck one.
You're the reason baseball's dying. You're the reason. Right.
Yeah.
You're the reason baseball's dying. You know why it's an unwritten rule? Because it's a stupid-ass rule.
Yeah.
That's why it's unwritten. And you know what? If you played Rott State again tonight, throw one at Drew Gilbert. I dare you. Because you can't throw one at him all night. So the next one you put over the plate, he's taking that 1 yard too.
Yeah,
I'll do it.
Put runners on with this lineup and see what happens.
Yeah. So who cares? And again, I just a lot of people. It was a 4 seed. You know what? If it's a late game in March, and a 2 seed's down to a 15 seed, and they hit a buzzer beater, they're not going to walk off the court and just shake people's hands and be like, "Oh, that was fun." They're going effing nuts. Like that. That's sports. That's sports. If you want the golf clap, go play golf.
We literally had the hardest regional in the country.
It's just, I'm sorry, if you're complaining about the bat flip, about the celly, which was, again, it might have been the best celebration in college athletics history. If you're complaining about that shit, turn off the TV. We don't want you. No one wants you.
Like ESPN loved it. There was a bunch of outlets that 11.7, they loved it.
Oh, and as you should. And you know what? As annoyed as I would have been if I'm Wright State, if Wright State does that to Tennessee on Friday night, they better have a celebration that matches that. They better. Because like, I'm at least going to be like, dude, that was so cool. Like, maybe a year later when I calm down from it. But I'm like, dude, that bat flip was nasty.
Right. And like, that pitcher had only given up 5 home runs this whole season.
Yeah. The whole moment was insane. I was joking with you. We were talking on the phone Saturday, and I was like, I think Tennessee could win the College World Series. And I would be like, you guys remember that bat flip in the regional game?
Absolutely.
That was absolutely insane.
Like, it's that grand slam was sick. It's one of the top moments in Tennessee, but definitely baseball history, but it's got to be up there for at least this past decade in Tennessee sports.
No, I mean, I think it's definitely kind of hard to like top moments, but the passion, like the celebration, like the moment in and of itself was cool. You needed this win because you don't want to be in the loser's bracket. That gives you an extra game. You have, even if you try to win it on Sunday, you're playing a doubleheader like Liberty did. Like the implications it had, what an elimination, that's good. But the implications it had on what you would have had to do the rest of the weekend to move on makes the whole – like, that makes the moment. Then you talk about how Tennessee at that point had left 9 runners in scoring position – or 9 runners on.
They're 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position.
Okay. So you're kind of already battling. You've had a tough go of it already. You get 3 on in the bottom of the ninth to – you mentioned just a Wright State kind of giving you all they got on the mound. This is insane. Giving you all they got on the mound. And then you get a moment in there where Drew Gilbert got shafted earlier in the game. He, you know, they said he leaned into a pitch and certainly wasn't the case. And so that, like, the moment was just amazing. So just looking at the play, you're like, that's an incredible play. And then you talk about Lindsey Nelson putting 4,000 people in there with the addition of some grandstands. And then, the place goes freaking nuts. Guys on the dugout with a sign while they're dancing on the dugout says, "Please keep off dugout."
A cop there, Rob, before the game ended tonight.
I get that. You got to get safety, but you got to let them still. You know, if you walk off grand slam, guys on the dugout. That's the rule.
If that thing caves in, yeah, it might be a lawsuit, but. You know, maybe you can kind of get around that because they chose to get up there. But I mean, that stadium right now, it's coming down anyway.
Right.
Right. There's going to be a new one in its place. You know, we're going to do a ton of upgrades, and I think that dugout's probably going to go with it.
Yeah. No, the whole moment was phenomenal. And you talk about where it ranks in Tennessee sports history. I mean, for me, it's going to be one of the best, at least thus far in my life. I hope we get some more great moments, but it's going to be hard to top a walk-off grand slam, and then what the passion that went with it. Like, it's going to be hard to top. It's going to be hard to top.
Yeah, and they've had a ton of moments. You know, Drew Gilbert, the first series against Georgia Southern, had a walk-off home run, and then you had the ones against LSU. You had Evan Russell's grand slam. You had Max Ferguson's walk off against number one Arkansas. I mean, it just a ton of moments that teams probably don't get in, you know, probably a decade. But Tennessee's right. Had so many in just one season. This team is special. And, yep. You know, I hope I saw Randy Boyd. He had his Tennessee baseball jersey on today. He had the
great. He's a big baseball guy. That's the thing, too. I think we got to remember that the guy that's really, you know, the guy who can make things happen, he's not just writing them. He can also, you know, just make things happen at the school. He's a big baseball dude. The only thing I hope he doesn't try to do is try to be like, hey, we're already building a stadium. Let's just move there. Like, no, Tennessee needs an on-campus stadium to themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the only thing I hope. BVD said he puts that grand slam in his top 10 personal ball moments. He said maybe school's top 10. That's the stuff movies are made of. That is the stuff movies are made of. But you know what they don't make movies about? Dudes trotting the bases. You know what they do make movies about? Dudes flat bat flipping to the heavens. That's what they make movies about.
Oh, and throwing your helmet to freaking right field?
Yeah.
It's freaking electric.
And I'll even spot you that one. Maybe a little over the top, but you know what? Electric, like you said.
Game. The game's over. It doesn't matter. It doesn't yeah. matter. It's over.
Yeah, 100%.
Did he get called out because of it? No.
Nope.
Nope.
Who cares?
It's not illegal.
No, and I would have dared you to call him out for that. And you, Tony Vitello's, he's got your back. Don't worry.
He's having Angel Campos in a freaking headlock.
Yeah. And by the way, tonight he walked back into the dugout a couple times as he started to say something. He's like, nope, not tonight. I'm just gonna hide back here, keep my voice down.
Dude, Drew Gilbert and Tony Vitello have the same walk. Like they're always in a hurry. They're always on some kind of mission.
He does like I'm always like, man, what's he pissed off about? Because he's just walking back to the dugout. He's not mad. It's just, he's doing something.
Yeah. Brisk walk. But yeah, that was just an amazing moment for Tennessee, and that kind of put them in the driver's seat. You know, all right, we got that one.
Yeah, their adrenaline's still pumping on Saturday night, apparently.
And it took all the air out of Wright State. I mean, they freaking blanked the next day.
Well, and two, like up to that point, they were. I mean, like I said, they gave Tennessee all they had. Like, it, you know, that everyone's like, oh, well, you know, they were just a four seed. First off, they were a really good four seed. Also, they had, you know, they had some of the better moments of their season. I mean, they had some big moments in that game. So they were, I mean, it definitely took the wind out of their sails, but they were already, the next day was going to be tough for them anyways, just because they had pitched they had pitched their best. I mean, how many home runs can you hit in a weekend? It's difficult to do. Ask Drew Gilbert. It got him the most outstanding player of the regional. It definitely took some out of Wright State, but it would have taken some out of everybody. The losing team on that end, we talked about with Alabama, moments like that happen, you rarely go on to win that game, you know, win the game. So, you know, the next game they were, Tennessee had all the momentum for their weekend and Wright State pretty much lost all theirs.
Yeah, and I don't know if this has ever been done before, but what about Wright State having two guys hit two home runs in a game, and then Tennessee does it the next day?
Yeah.
That's wild.
I mean, just the five home runs in one game, holy crap.
Five home runs in three innings.
That's also true. Holy crap.
We set a record without even playing this game today. We set like a NCAA record for most home runs in a regional.
I'm sure the NCAA record for most home runs in regional play was put on today, like at 7 o'clock. So with pretty much all the West Coast championship games to play still, they set the record for home runs. So in regional play. So just electric weekend. You probably didn't get to watch a lot of it because you had to have the ESPN app, but.
Yeah, so I did get to watch some of it, and I did keep up with Florida and them losing. Also, I think Arkansas was losing. I think they're up now on Nebraska. It looks like Caleb had to bounce. South Carolina also is out of the tournament, and Tennessee is on its way to host either Oregon or LSU. They were playing – I think that game started at 10 o'clock tonight. But yeah, Tennessee will host either Oregon or LSU. LSU's got to beat Oregon twice to advance. Oregon's just got to beat LSU once.
It is 1-1 in the bottom of the third in that game.
Okay, gotcha.
Arkansas is down in Nebraska 5-3 in the bottom of the sixth. Vanderbilt was struggling with Georgia Tech for a minute there, but they're on top 7-3. And Ole Miss is losing to Southern Miss right now. 10-7. It is the bottom of the ninth, two outs. Let me turn on that game real quick. If you all see my eyes flashing up, I'm sorry. I'm very much dialed into this, but the U.S. men's national team is playing in the Nations League championship right now against Mexico. So definitely watching that. And it's top of the ninth.
Top of the ninth.
10-7. Top of the ninth, 10-7. So Ole Miss hadn't batted yet at all.
Another thing.
This isn't right. I can't tell. This app is so messed up. Like one screen says top of the ninth, the other says bottom of the ninth, and says Ole Miss is. It says Ole Miss is at bat right now, so who knows? Who knows?
I have it as top of the ninth.
I have it as top. Now it says top of the ninth now, but it still shows is Ole. I mean, Ole Miss is the maybe Ole Miss is the home team or the away team. So why did that happen? Why was Tennessee the away team and not only a regional hosted, but a regional that was the highest seed?
Yeah, so I think it goes like – so that second game, it goes to whoever hasn't been the home team.
That's so dumb.
Yeah, I don't get
like it. Like, it should just be the higher seed.
Right, and the fact – like, I just don't understand. Like, I understand it's kind of neutral, but it's a host site. We can't even do K's for Queso.
That's also my question.
Can't play Rocky Top.
Yeah, which I'm glad they just kind of forgoed that on Friday night and just ripped it out. Yeah.
We'll pay the fine.
I also want to know, so it's technically a neutral site, like you said. It's an NCAA site. My question is, like, how much does Tennessee make from that besides just, like, ticket sales or something? Because if we're hosting the NCAA and not hosting, you know, other teams, then you better be cutting us a good check.
Yeah, it's like an Airbnb, right?
Exactly. I mean, if you don't want to do that, then you go pay to have the you go find the regional sites, you know, like minor league stadiums or something like that. If you're going to do that,
yeah, pay us the money. We need it.
Yeah, we desperately.
We're trying to build a new stadium and pay a baseball coach and make him one of the highest paid coaches in America.
Yeah, and funny you mentioned that real quick, too. Mike Wilson had an article, I believe, on Saturday, and he kind of dove in. He got with some sources, and apparently Tennessee is working to make Tony Vitello one of the higher-paid coaches in the country, along with they've done a lot of work in the background. And I'll tell you what, man. You know, we talk about how a lot of people in college athletics just can't do the common-sense things, and I'm not saying Danny White's done it yet, but everything sounds like he's doing. He's just doing what he should. And
it's weird, isn't it? It's not
easy. It's very weird. Well, you know, I talked about, you know, that and his comments were cleared up a little bit when he was on the Swain event a couple weeks ago about asking fans to donate and, you know, give what they've got. But I was like, you know, he needs to be on the phone every day calling people who can write. Because yes, like fan, you know, you need the fans buying the apparel. But right now with what's happening in baseball, and this isn't a, hey, we just need to dedicate more money. Like, this is a, you have a baseball program, but you have to dedicate money to it to keep it growing and to keep the coach that's making it happen. So you need to be on the phone every single day, securing those people who can write those checks, securing the money from them. And it sounds like, you know, from Mike Wilson's report, it sounds like that's what he's been doing. So like I said, just making the common sense plays and, you know, time will tell with Danny White, but the things he's done to this point, we'll see with Josh Heupel. It's way too early. Obviously not crazy about the hire, but hey, everyone needs their start. Tony Vitello hadn't been a head coach when John Curry hired him. And I know a lot of people didn't care about baseball then, so there wasn't an uproar. But I mean, if this baseball program's in this spot right now and you hire Tony Vitello, how many people are upset?
Yeah, true.
So I love it. Is there property available to build a new stadium by the river? That would be awesome. I doubt it because there's train tracks right there. The, you know, Neyland Drive's right there.
You'd have to clear out a lot.
Yeah. I think it's a great
spot. It would be cool, though.
It would be cool, but I mean, at the same time, you should be working on closing the stadium in, so you're not going to be able to see the river anyways. So don't worry about it. Don't sweat it.
Yeah.
Well, don't sweat it.
Drew Gilbert's still hitting them in the river. So
yeah, exactly. I feel bad for that guy on the Sea Dude the other day that died from it.
Probably. Yeah, let's get to Saturday a little bit, kind of keep going with that. Blake Tidwell got the start, he got the win. Tennessee jumped on Liberty early. I think we're up 5-0. Is that right? 7-0. Sorry. 7-0.
It's easy to forget those home runs when they, you know, like so many of them.
Yeah. So Spence homered twice. Luke Lipsius homered twice, and Drew Gilbert homered again. He homered in all three games this weekend. Luke Lipsius hit 3 home runs as well, but he hit 2 on Saturday and then hit 1 on Friday night. Didn't hit 1 tonight. I mean, there's they're going at it for the RBI lead. I think Drew Gilbert took it tonight. I think he's at 60. And I think Jordan Beck is right around 55, 56, something like that. And I think Rucker is right around 51. So Gilbert, these home runs keep, he's piling on. He's, trying to get that cushion for that lead. So, gonna need more RBIs from everybody else. Just keep that train rolling. But yeah, I got this. Blake Tidwell got the start. I thought he pitched really well. He's continuing his hot streak. He ran into some issues in the sixth inning, but a lot of that was on our defense. They just couldn't get an out. Had a couple errors in that inning. I think one was Jake Rucker. I don't remember what the other one was, but I thought he came in and did well. Who else came in at? Kirby Connell came in as well. He ran into some trouble. They put Camden Sewell in there, and he kind of just dominated, only gave up two hits. Had four strikeouts in just three innings pitched.
Yeah, I mean, just I think
bomb after bomb.
Right. Camden Sewell's had quite the postseason. You know, we talked about what he did in Hoover and kind of Tennessee looking for that next guy, you know, behind Tidwell, behind Heflin. Behind Chad Dallas, kind of seems like Camden Sewell's secured his spot there. You need someone to come in and just kind of close the door. But, you know, the thing you battle in postseason, though, too, and I actually saw – I don't know who tweeted it out. Postseason is about pitching and what you got there. And so you're trying to – you know, you don't want to – you want to get the job done, but you also still have Sunday night to play. So you definitely want to keep some arms available. So for Camden Sewell, you mentioned Kirby Connell came out. And, you know, had some trouble. So for Camden Sewell to come in and really close the door on things, that's big. And you're going to need more of that this postseason. And, I mean, it looks like Camden Sewell's your guy to get things done, whether it's starting or in relief.
Yeah, and then another guy that, you know, just came in and did his job tonight, and that's Sean Hundley. I mean, you know, you're talking about slamming the door. There wasn't much of an opening in that door with
right.
the way Will Heflin pitched. Pitching five and a third inning, four hits, only one run, eight strikeouts. I mean, you can't ask for a better start from, you know, a guy like Will Heflin that just continues to be just so consistent throughout his career at Tennessee. And he's a guy that you can also use in the bullpen because he's been a bullpen guy throughout his career at Tennessee. So I think Tennessee has some options in that bullpen. But, yeah, Sean Hundley just came in and just kind of picked up where Will Heflin left off.
You know, Will Heflin, credit to him, you know, maybe get a little generous call on that outside, you know, high and outside fastball. But you got the call and got yourself out of a jam. But, I mean, Will Heflin and Sean Hundley both, they had a really, really, you know, tough situation there in the fifth inning, and to get out of it, because you mentioned the door, there wasn't a ton of openings, but that was certainly one of them. And you know, whatever to be, yeah, sure, maybe a not a great strike call there on a full count with, you know, guys on first and second, but that call came all night. So, like, I think Liberty got the exact same call the next half inning. So, the bottom of the fifth. So it's just like, you know, credit to him to get it done. Yeah, maybe you got some help along the way, but the guy still had a chance. That's one thing about that high and outside fastball. You know, it was questionable at best. I don't know if it was a same thing with Liberty's in the bottom of the fifth. You still had a chance to swing at that ball. You still had a chance to put the bat on the ball, and so I don't have a problem with that strike call either of them.
The umpire was all over the place tonight. Anyway.
Yeah, there wasn't much consistency. That was his high and outside was pretty consistent.
Yeah, I mean he was calling a lot of those outside, especially the left-handed batters, balls, and then you know he would give the pitchers the inside corner. But yeah, the outside corner was tough to get for pitchers. But Tennessee had 13 strikeouts on the night. They only had eight. And Tennessee had six hits, and Liberty had five. So in this postseason play, you're not going to get five home runs in three innings. That's just not right. It's it's just not going to happen. You're going to have these gritty, kind of grinded out wins, and Tennessee was able to come out on top tonight, thanks to, you know.
Oh, sorry. USA just tied it up in the 81st with an incredible header.
Nice.
Apologies.
Apologies.
My shirt's going to come off soon. You don't want to see that, so maybe y'all should be asking for Mexico to win.
Yeah, there you go. Take it off, man. Get it going. That's a good thing about having your own show is you can – I mean,
yeah, I could.
Maybe not be nude. Yeah, I think
we'd get in trouble with the internet. That's a stretch. But shirt's coming off. That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. If people can do it on top of a dugout, and you can do it on the show.
Right, 100%.
You're not going to have those, you know, ton of home runs, tons of runs. You're going to have some of these grinded out wins. And, you know, Tennessee's proven throughout the season they can handle that. They got the pitching to do so. And, you know, when you need a big hit, you know, this lineup is full of guys that can deliver. And Drew Gilbert was the hero once again tonight. Left it hanging, and he took you over the scoreboard.
I think you're going to see some – you mentioned him being a hero again. I think you're going to see some – I don't think that's the last Drew Gilbert heroic play you saw.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
although
he's going to be here at least another year. So,
yeah, you also,
next year he's able to build on that too.
You also almost saw a slip up there in late in the game in center field, left center field, where the ball gets lost.
I think it was a joke.
I don't know. The way Tony Vitello talked about it, they asked him about it on the SEC Network interview. And I'm like, man, how often does this happen? Because he mentioned it. He said, oh, God love him. But, you know, thankfully, Evan Russell is there to make the play.
Well, I was like, holy crap, where's this ball landing? And then Evan Russell is like holding the ball up in the air. I'm like, what just happened?
So did you lose it too in the air?
I was more so just watching Gilbert because I thought it was hit right to him. But
gotcha.
I don't know. I think Evan Russell called him off, and he just did that to be
took off running the opposite way. Gotcha.
Because he was laughing about it, and I don't know if it's like just a slip up. You know, it's fine. We got the out. We can laugh about it, or it's just like, I'm a goofball.
What about that play in right field where the ball bounces back into Jordan Beck's glove? I don't know if you could see it on the, you know, I don't even know how big it was, but that spot on the wall, there was something white there. Like, I don't know what it was. Like, so I thought the ball got
wedged
into the padding initially. And I was like, well, thank God that holds the guy at second. But I was like, good Lord. Like, the fact that – and then it fell out of his glove. And I was like, did he catch that? And then I remember it did get past him and bounced off the wall. But I was like, wait a minute. We need to go back and check this. Did he catch it? That would have been awesome. That would have been – but what's the rule there?
As far as
– like, would that be an out?
If he caught it off the wall?
No. If he had caught it. And then didn't find it. Does that make sense?
Caught it and didn't find it.
Like, so he catches it over his shoulder, mm-hmm. but he doesn't think he did. So he starts looking for it, and it falls out of his glove. Is that counted as control? I don't know.
I mean, that's probably another review that's probably not going Tennessee's way.
Well, I mean, I feel like if you don't know, you caught the ball. Did you really catch the ball?
Yeah, I guess so. Dude, is your glove heavy or not?
Right. So, I mean, I was just like, that's a weird play because I feel like it would, you know, Jordan Beck had one on Friday night. I think it went off the top of his glove. But, you know, the ones that bounce in the glove, even, you know, no matter how long they stay there, if that goes out or it gets dropped, like, that's not a catch.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it's a time limit. No clue. That's what I guess that's what I'm asking. What's the
– I don't know.
What's the rule there?
I hope that if you catch it, you know you caught it. We've never seen that before, so I don't know. I'm not sure. Just catch it. Yeah. No, you caught it.
Definitely just catch it. But that was also a really hard ball to catch. I mean, it was pretty much a freaking line drive to the right field wall.
Right.
That was a hard play to make. But, at least it didn't go – at least it didn't hit his glove and go over. That would have been a sucky way to have a home run, especially 2-1 weekend.
Yeah, but that's all I got for talking about the games. I mean, just an electric atmosphere. Love when you're able to fill Neyland Stadium up. I'm glad I hope this is the new norm.
I mean, a lot of people have said it, like, that the last couple baseball weekends have felt like Saturdays in the fall, like that anticipation is there. And
you got people tailgating, you got people waiting in lines. Yeah. It's really cool. I mean, it's nice to, like, after a win, you just walk to your car and not have to worry about traffic. I kind of miss that a little bit, but I'll take this every night of the week.
Absolutely. And I'm definitely going to, you know, next spring's going to be a little bit different. Hope to, which I think this spring was just weird too, with moving and wet and like weddings and crap like that. But yeah, next spring might be one of those, don't bother me on Saturday in March.
Let's tailgate.
I've already got plans. Yeah. I want to tailgate so bad. I also want, I mean, I told you I wanted to watch the game from like right field. I hope the Ole Miss and Mississippi State baseball stadium is like, that's collegiate baseball to me.
Yeah.
Like, I hope there's something like that in Lindsey Nelson next spring, or
because they're getting like 10,000 in their stadium. We're getting not even four. We got 39-41 tonight.
Yeah.
And it was packed, but I mean, like, and it was loud, but just, I can't fathom how loud it would actually be, or how great that atmosphere would be if you're able to get 10,000 people in a stadium.
Oh, it'd be, I mean, it would be nuts. Like you mentioned, it was loud tonight. You could hear it.
You could smell the beer off everybody because they're just sweating it out throughout the day. A lot of them came a little early, to pregame before the Tennessee game.
Hopefully it's loud enough to drown out that kid behind home plate just yelling, "Ump, you suck," pretty much the entire game. That was a little unbearable. I don't know if you could hear him or if he was just right next to a mic. I have no idea.
I couldn't hear him at all.
God, maybe he went behind home plate and he was just next to a mic. It was awful. I mean, every single pitch, just letting the ump have it. And I'm all about hating on the umps, but good Lord, dude, give it a rest.
Yeah, dude, take a breath.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody get this kid a beer.
As far as baseball goes, we just did baseball tonight. It was, like I said, Sunday night special brought to you by the Fightin' Tony Vitellos. We'll be back Wednesday, though. Normal show. Tennessee did have some recruits on campus this weekend. And so things are getting back to normal as far as that stuff goes. And still got, you know, Tennessee, this staff and this class have got a ways to go. Kevin Brown just put in the chat Tech. So Tech must have done something here. Let's see. Tech is up 8-7 on Vandy right now. That is not an elimination game for Vandy, though. But
yeah, they have to beat them twice.
Yep. Still big if they're able to take it to Monday. So yeah, we'll be talking football and basketball's even getting some recruiting lined up as well. So we'll have plenty to talk about on Wednesday as Tennessee prepares to host their first super regional. They didn't host in 2005, but I don't know. I mean, they have some really, really old College World Series appearances. So I guess let's call it modern era, maybe.
I think they did. Did they not host in 2005?
I don't think so.
Okay. But this is their first super regional since 2005.
Right. It definitely is that. I think it's their first time hosting longer than that. I will double check that. We'll have that for you on Wednesday. You'll know by then. You may know by tonight, depending on if it goes to another game or not. LSU is currently beating Oregon 2-1 in the top of the fifth. And so no later tonight whether Tennessee is playing Oregon or not. Or I guess you'll know whether they're
for sure tomorrow.
Yeah, you'll know for sure by tomorrow night. And it should be another just rowdy crowd. Three game series. I still don't understand the College World Series, the road to Omaha yet. Maybe one day. Hopefully.
I've had a lot of people text me over the past couple of days and be like, "Hey, what do we do after this? What's next?"
Yeah, hopefully Tennessee fans become more familiar with it over the next couple years. But right now it's like reading another language. I don't get it, and I'm not entirely convinced that the NCAA gets it. Like I think they just kind of like draw names and are like, "Ah, this sounds right. Let's play it."
Yep. I mean, if you're going like football, Tennessee is now in the Sweet 16. And they're two wins away from the College World Series. Just know that.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they're in the Sweet 16, but they're also not in the Sweet 16 yet. It's so weird.
They play one team.
Yeah, it's very confusing. Very confusing. Yeah. Guys, we always appreciate you hopping on. Thanks for doing this late tonight with us. It was a fun weekend, fun night in Lindsey Nelson. Thought we needed to really enjoy it all together, like a family. And yeah, I really wanted to talk about Tony Botello's front flip, so somersault thing.
We'll get him on the show and ask him about it. He might be a little sore tomorrow. The good thing is you don't have to play tomorrow, so you get tomorrow off. That was your reward for winning tonight. Go ahead and getting it over with. But yeah, Tennessee is two wins away from the College World Series. We'll be back on Wednesday. Hope you all have a good week. We're bringing the boat in, and we out.